Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
You know, I don't mean to be preachy, but we ought to remember, and that means promoters too, that music's for grooving, man, and music's not for putting yourself through bad changes. You know, I mean, you don't have to go take anybody's shit, man, just to like music. You know what I mean? Music's supposed to be different than that.
Hey kids, you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, and this show is Fish Out of Agua with Michelle Carlo. Today is Tuesday, October 24th, 2017. And yes, in the immortal words of Janis Joplin, spoken at Woodstock almost 50 years ago, you don't have to put yourself through any bad changes to listen to music, because the music is all good. This is the music episode here today, kids. So we're going to start out with Janis Joplin, Ball and Chain, live at Woodstock, and we'll be back in a little bit.
I want a little help sometimes. I need a little help.
And we're back with Fish Out of Agua on Radio Free Brooklyn. That was the immortal, the amazing Janis Joplin with Ball and Chain live at the Woodstock Music and Art Fair, which happened on August 16th, 1969. Where were you back then? I was playing Coliforms and Barbie dolls behind my grandma's couch, so I wasn't going hanging out in any music concerts naked in the mud. But boy, when I saw those pictures in this magazine that my parents had called Life Magazine about the hippies and the 3-day festival of Mudfest. Oh my God, did I wish I was a teenager so I could go run around naked in the mud with everybody else. Anyway, it's probably a good thing that I didn't because I had other things to do. Whoa, we have a lot of show for you today. I promised you that this is a music episode, and yes, it is. We have old music, new music, our guest artist this week is a fantastic musician. Oh my God. So let me stop blah blahing and get to the music with this song our guest artist handpicked this week to open her episode. Woohoo!
Mm-hmm.
We're back with Fish Out of Agua on Radio Free Brooklyn. That was The Dead Weather with 60 Feet Tall from their Whorehound album back in 2009. And wow, that was, I'd never heard the song before right now when I'm recording this for you guys. And I'm just amazed at how meta and awesome a good fit it is with the Janis Joplin song, because there was like some total Jimi Hendrix sounding riffs there and the Janis Joplin voice thing. And wow, it's, I don't know, it was just a cool thing to hear that, you know, whatever is good in music is good and lasting. And now, guess what, kids? It's time for my favorite part of the show. Woohoo! Everybody, welcome to Fish Out of Agua's Guest Artist of the Week. Woohoo! Every week I say it's my favorite part of the show, but that's because it is, because every week I get to sit with somebody brand new and so sparkling interesting, I cannot wait to share them with you. And today we're doing something, and now something for completely different. Because we have another music, our second musician on Fish Out of Agua, and she's also someone whom I really don't know at all. So this is going to be interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting, as she says. Okay, so please welcome to Fish Out of Agua from the band Love Honey, and you have to say your name because I forgot your last name.
Ali. Alicia Quiñones.
Alicia Quiñones! Woo! Hola, Alicia.
How are you, mamita?
Oh, my God. Like, how many months have we been trying to make this work?
I think it's been since April.
Yeah, since the Radio Free Brooklyn did their season 6, like, opening party at Rublad in Bushwick.
Yeah.
And her Alicia's band played, and they were fantastic. And when I saw her beautiful energy and channeling, like, all the rock gods that I grew up with, I was like, I need to meet this woman. And I basically genuflected at your feet.
Oh, my God, thank you.
Remember that?
Yes.
I, like, kneeled down.
She was like, Liz, you say you were Boricua?
Yeah, that's right. When I found out she was Puerto Rican, I was like, what? So we have, like, you're like the next gen Boricua, because you're going to be carrying on the torch. Because you're young.
Yeah, I'm pretty young. I'm 28.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, I'm really excited because I haven't seen many girls, brown girls like me, doing the same type of music that I've been doing recently. They have a lot of people to look up to, but I don't really resonate with those types of artists. So they have, you know, their R&B artists, or the new girls that are coming out in the rap game, you know, and they're very influential, and they're, you know, supporting them. But I also know that there's girls like me who are very much into rock music, and they don't really have anybody to look for or look to for
or look up to. Yeah, no, I totally get that, because I remember when I was a teenager, there were no Latina anyone for me to look up to or try to emulate. You know, all right, Wonder Woman, but like, being that she was part Mexican, was like totally like under the radar back in the 70s right, and early right. 80s, you know? And like, what was that, Charo? Like, we were supposed to look like, the girls were supposed to look like Charlie's Angels. There was nobody. At least young girls now have like J-Lo and other people to
Rosie
look up
Perez.
To. And Rosie Perez and Zoe Saldana. And like, there's so many now that have just like broken barriers and smashed windows. And I think that you are one of those smashers.
God, I hope so.
So tell me about how you started smashing.
I think when I was about 7 or 8 years old.
Where are you from? You're native New Yorker, right?
Yep.
Okay, tell us about that.
So I was born and raised in Brooklyn. I was living in East New York, but I was going to school in Bushwick for my entire life. So I spent most of my life in Bushwick.
Wow. So you're like a born and raised almost Bushwick person from like back in the day.
Straight New Yorkerican.
All right. So, Wepa.
Exactly. But where I went to school, you know, everybody was into the main thing. So everything was, you know, rap music, R&B music, you know, everybody had the new Jordans. Everybody had the sneakers that matched the belt, that matched the T-shirt. It was all of that. And I tried really hard to be that. But I was always uncomfortable in my own skin. And the things that I liked, I was so scared to talk about or share what I liked because I was scared of being made fun of. So I wouldn't.
So what were the kind of things that you liked?
So, like, I don't know. Every kid that started off loving rock and roll, I feel like they loved Linkin Park.
Right.
As soon as you heard Linkin Park, that was it. It was like you were already into rock music. But I think it was like a little bit before I finished high school, maybe, where I got into the White Stripes.
Mm.
And I heard Jack White for the first time, and I was just like, holy shit.
Isn't that amazing when you hear a band and they just, like, it resonates with you in a way, and it, like, opens your eyes. You're like, whoa, I never thought about music that way before.
Exactly.
For me, when I was in high school, it was Led Zeppelin.
There you go.
Yeah. You know,
there you go.
Because I was just like, and then, you know, somebody that would be, I guess, 10 or 15 years younger than me, in between you and I, for them, it would be Nirvana.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I
so like
Nirvana,
every generation, so. I mean, and there were other bands that are equally on a par with the White Stripes and Led
right.
Zeppelin and Nirvana. But like for each, but you know, for us, those were like the ones that made us say, oh, that's something different.
Yeah, exactly. And as soon as you hear like that beat or those voices and that power come out of them, you're like, holy shit, like, what is this? Like, I want to do this, you know? And a lot of the time, I've had people think that I liked a specific band because I was, like, in love with the singer. Like, no, I want to be that guy. Like, a lot of my heroes were male at first because I really didn't know what females to look for. So it wasn't that I was in love with any male singer. I just wanted to be just like them. I wanted to do what they were doing, how powerful they were being. Because a lot of the female singers that I saw, they were in one spot. And they had the one mic, and they weren't moving around. They weren't doing anything. And the guys, they were just, like, all over the floor and running around and ripping off their shirts and, like, jumping into the crowd. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to be that.
And those people, like, who were jumping around and taking off their shirt and jumping into the crowd, they were probably watching people like Iggy Pop.
Exactly.
Right? So it's like this whole progression of stuff. So were you always a singer? Did you come from a musical family?
No, I didn't. My uncle, we used to live in a big house with my father's side, with my grandparents, and we had an apartment, and my uncle would be in the basement playing guitar.
Oh.
So I would just put my head down in the carpet and listen to him and just like hum, maybe. My dad was really into music. He played a lot of Bob Marley and Phil Collins, Tina Turner, Mariah Carey was my favorite, obviously, because that vocal range was insane.
I know, like 4 octaves, yeah. 5 octaves. So you grew up hearing a lot of good music.
Yeah, basically.
So were you one of those kids that would run around the house with the hairbrush?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
With the hairbrush. And, you know, my mom, she was just like, you know, she was always like cooking and cleaning or doing something. And she's like, "Coño, cállate." Like, she didn't realize that that was something that really... resonated with me, something that I really wanted to do. She just thought I was just trying to be loud.
I know, because so often, I mean, girls, I mean, I can make the case that Latina girls, but I just think women in general, no matter what their ethnicity, we're always told, cállate.
Yeah.
Be quiet. Look, go put on some lipstick and go sit over there until we need you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you are not that kind of girl.
I was definitely not.
No, you're not. If you've seen her in big mouth, big everything, oh my God. It's like you have to me, you embodied the personas of Janis Joplin, a little bit of Iggy Pop, but not taking the shirt off, although you may do that in other shows. I don't know.
Come to a show and check it out.
Yeah, and did a bit of Robert Plant, and just so energetic and amazing. And the showman, like B-52s with your range, you know, the B-52s?
I think I saw a little documentary.
Yeah. They were known for like all their harmonies and stuff. But yeah, your stuff is amazing. So you're in high school and you're interested in music. And then what happens to you?
And then I end up getting pregnant when I was 17. And all of that just went away. Because I had people telling me, I had a gym teacher actually tell me, like, he was like, "Oh, you're pregnant?" He's like, "Congratulations, you ruined your life."
You know? Coño.
And had
whoever, if you're listening to the show, we're smacking you on your head. How do you say that to somebody?
That's what I'm saying, you know? And you know, it was very discouraging to me, you know?
Did you finish high school?
I finished high school on time.
All right, on time and punto.
Yeah. With staples in my stomach and everything.
Oh my God.
I was told that I basically was a statistic. Like, I was gonna be this kind of girl, and this was gonna be my life, and that's it. And in a way, it helped me because I felt like, okay, that's bullshit, and watch me prove you wrong.
That's one thing that we have in common. No, I'm not a mother, but like if somebody tells me I can't do something, I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the way to get me to do something is tell me I can't do it.
Yeah, same.
Like how awful. You would think that one would think that any type of social counselor or somebody with a young teenager who's about to be a mom and that wants to stay in school would be given some advice that would actually be helpful and good.
Absolutely.
Instead of being told, welcome to your... Oh,
yeah,
oh God.
Welcome to your nightmare, basically. Yeah. I think they just got the wrong impression. All of those like talk shows at Mari and everything that had these girls on it who weren't really representing like that... Not that it was a mistake, but these girls were doing it because they knew they were going to get government assistance. They knew that they were going to get help, and they knew that they weren't going to be able to work. From what I saw on the shows, that wasn't the case for me at all. You know, I had an opportunity to have an abortion. I did have that opportunity, and I chose not to take it. You know what I mean? Because to me, he saved my life. I wasn't a very happy person in high school. So he saved my life.
Full disclosure, Mikey is sitting at the opposite end of the long conference table we scam here in Fashion Land, and he is just glowing. He's drawing his manga.
Yep.
So you see the third generation. We got 3 generations of Boricua in this room.
Exactly.
So after high school, and now you're 18, and you have a child.
And I have a kid. And I
you had the support of your family.
Oh my God, I have the best support system ever between my mom and my sisters and my stepdad. They basically have been there for me since the beginning, and they've never let me down since. So I got really lucky with the family that I have, because I know there's girls that have it way worse than me. So I have a very supportive home, and Mikey's loved family an extended family and all. Anybody that comes across him and meets him, he's just like, welcome with open arms.
Oh, yeah. When I met him, I was going to shake his hand, and he was hugging me. I could hear in his mind, like, later for that, lady. I'm going to hug you. Oh, my God. He's such an awesome kid. Okay, so when you are
getting, reconciling yourself to the fact that you're a mom and you're a teenage mom, and I'm sure life is not like Teen Mom 2 on MTV.
No, there's no money. There's no cars. I see these girls with cars. I'm like, how? I was like schlepping my stroller, going up the stairs in the train station with people bumping into me and giving me dirty looks because I'm a young mom and had to deal with that.
Were you able to continue your schooling at all?
I went to City Tech for a little while. Hated it.
City Tech in Brooklyn?
Yeah.
On J Street?
Yeah.
I went there.
You did?
Yeah.
I just, my mom wanted me to go to school for nursing, and, you know, I was like, what am I going to lose? Like, let me just give it a shot. But I'm the type of person that if my heart's not in something, I can't even give it the full 100%.
And then nursing is so practical.
It is.
Nursing, no dissing on nurses.
No,
because
my mom's a nurse.
Nurses are just like, to me, If I was emperor, if I were queen, if I was Galadriel with the elf ring on my hand, nurses would get paid like models, and models would get paid like nurses. Sorry, not sorry.
No way. Absolutely.
Because anybody who cures and heals is or teaches, to me, they are the ones that should be exalted in society.
I agree. My mom is a nurse in Rikers Island, so... You know,
so she, like thousands of props to her.
Yeah, she should definitely be getting paid like a model.
Yeah, she should be. And all this indignation is in my brain. It's like you know the roll of like rubber bands that the cat bats around the living room.
Yes.
So all the indignation is just like inside my brain, all twisted up, and it's not coming out.
It's all good.
I'm not articulating very well right now.
I don't do that very well in general. I'm good at, like, bullshitting on stage, and I can make people understand my message. And sometimes in a conversation, I have so much in my head that I want to come out, and it's hard for me to say it all in a specific space or amount of time.
So you are still trying to be something and do something because you know that there's something else for you besides what people are thinking that you should be, obviously.
Exactly.
Like your counselor in high school and, like, you know, your well-meaning parents saying, you know, why don't you study this practical thing?
Yeah.
So how did you break from that and make them understand it and get that support?
I think they're still
That's monumental.
Trying to understand it, but my mom sees how hard I'm actually working, and I have great people that I'm working with. Like the boys in my band, they're my brothers, and for us to do well, you know, we all have to work together. So they want me to succeed as much as I want them to succeed, and we all want to succeed together.
Is Love Honey your first band?
Love Honey is my first band.
Okay, so tell me about the origin of it. How old were you? How did you guys meet, and how did you start up?
Me and Tommy, my guitarist, we met on Craigslist, actually.
Craigslist? Oh, my God. That's 21st century.
It was 3 months before we even met in person, and even at that time, I had a knife in my bag just in case he was a loco.
Oh, my God. So she's Boricua.
Yeah.
Anything you hear about Puerto Ricans and knives, guess what?
It's true.
It's
so true. But we hit it off.
Sorry, not sorry.
But his post was basically where he described exactly what I was looking for in a band.
Wow.
And I was just searching Craigslist, like, for nothing, to see what I can find. And basically, he had on the post, like, looking for a female singer for a rock band. And it was like, you know, sounds like the White Stripes, which is one of Jack White's bands.
Right.
Janis
Joplin.
You
mentioned them before.
Led Zeppelin, the Black Keys. And I was like, oh,
Black Keys. Yeah.
All of that was me. I was like, yes.
So that's how people find each other with bands now? Is it on Craigslist?
Because,
you know, back in the
anymore.
Day, back in the day, it used to be the Village Voice. But now that's
gone now.
That's
right?
Gone now. It's going to be gone soon. It's only going to be online now. But in print, they used to have pages in the back
so
of.
Sad.
That's how, like, if you name a band in New York, like the Ramones or like Blondie or Talking Heads or any of those punk bands, that's how they found each other.
I think
from
Patti Smith.
And Patti Smith, too. Yeah, all those bands, they found each other in the back page of the Village Voice.
That's so amazing.
Right next to the right next to the ads for the whores. No.
Right next to it.
Yeah. Well, maybe on a different page. I don't think they were mixed up.
They were on the opposite.
That would have been
side.
A typo.
That was where the bands would find the whores.
Yeah, that's where they find their girlfriends. No, let me stop.
But I don't think they find each other like that anymore, because I think social media is becoming so much bigger, and like Facebook even has a page for people looking for bands.
Right, because like 10 years ago it would have been MySpace.
Exactly. Right.
Because MySpace was really big with musicians and models.
Yeah, exactly. For me, MySpace was just, is my background popping or not? Like, is it a good sparkle or not?
And everything now is on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat. And yeah. It's all just, like, so spread out.
It's good and scary at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it's good because you can reach as many people as possible, you know, if you work hard at it. But then it's also scary because your life is just, like, right there. And you actually really can't erase it thanks to the screenshot.
No, it's true. I mean, that's the one big difference of people my age and people your age. When I was a teenager or in my very early 20s, and I did something stupid, and trust me, mija, I did plenty of estupida. But how many people knew the stupid? Maybe a dozen tops, and then it got forgotten about, and everybody went out in their life. Now the stupid is forever.
You could definitely embarrass yourself for life.
And some people's stupid can wreck their life, unfortunately, because people just like jump on it. Like in those olden monster movies, like when they're chasing Frankenstein with the pitchfork and the torch. Sometimes that's what I think Facebook and social media is.
Once you look through those comment sections, it's just everybody's attacking everybody and everybody's fighting, and then you're just sitting there, you're sitting back, because I don't do that. I don't like doing comments. And you just sit back and you're like, where is the love? And where are your brains? I think it's an internal thing. It's stuff that people have felt for a very long time, and now they feel like it's okay for them to come out and say whatever they want and feel like they're not going to get bashed for it.
Then and that social media let it out.
Anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know anyone's real intentions unless they're online and they're bashing people.
Yeah, and like, right, like somebody that you thought was like all nice, and you could, like, that's happened to me. Like, I've seen people that I've been friendly with for a number of years, and then I read a comment that they make on somebody, and I'm just like,
bad taste in your mouth.
Do I know you? I know, it's hard. All right, let's stop talking about things we don't like and talk about things we do like music. like Craigslist. We got on this tangent, but I love tangents. But Craigslist, and you met Tom, and how old were you? And like, did the band have a name? And like, how did it blossom? You said you were 28. You lying?
I'm 28, so that was about 5 years ago. Okay. So I was 23 when I met Tommy, and you know, we became friends. The first day that we met, we went to his job, which is the sweatshop in Brooklyn.
Right, and that's where you had your knife.
That's where I had my knife, just in case. And we wrote 2 songs that day.
You did? That's awesome.
Immediately, and that's how I knew that it was something special. We had gotten out of touch for about a year after that, because life happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to start a band with one of my other friends, she's a great guitarist. She has her own band as well. I wanted her to learn the 2 songs that me and Tommy worked on, and I asked him if he can share it with her. And then one day he was just like, after he like showed her a couple times, I think he was feeling some type of way, and he was just like, I think we should work on these songs together. I think we should start a band. And I was like, fuck yeah. So we kept practicing and practicing, and then Tomas, our drummer.
That's right. There's drummer Tommy and there's guitar Tommy.
Exactly. He was from Queens, moved to Florida, came back from Florida only to play music.
Really?
He moved back to New York solely to play music.
Wow.
So that's dedication right there.
Yeah.
So we all three of us had gotten together for a practice session, and it was magic, and it was just like that.
Wow. So what was your first gig?
Our first gig was actually Tommy's now his wife. She had a Halloween party, and our first show was on Halloween.
Oh, that's auspicious.
It was.
So you guys started out as Scorpios.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, Love Honey's a Scorpio.
That's why we're crazy.
Yeah, that's and loyal. So how many people are in the band besides you and the two Tommies?
And then we also have Matthew, who was in another band with Tommy. And, you know, we weren't looking for a bass player, but then Matt came in and played a couple of shows with us, and it was just like, holy shit, he has to stay. Like, he brought something that was missing that we didn't realize it was missing until he came and played with us. So that... then Love Honey was complete.
That's amazing. Now, the reception for you guys when you started playing out, did you notice any extra attention because of you and your stage persona?
Yeah, people thought I was crazy.
They thought you were crazy?
They thought I was crazy because I would crawl on the floor, I was rolling around, I was throwing the mic down on the floor. I used to put my hands down my pants, and I don't anymore.
Yeah, I could see how that could be misconstrued in a way. And like, you know, like, oh, it's like, see, that's back to that social media thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people take stuff out of context, and then it's like, yeah. And,
absolutely. And like, but when you're like 4'11", and somebody gives you a Jack and Coke.
Yeah, that's it. It goes right to the brain.
Like, I didn't know what I was doing at that point. So, but, you know, I've gotten better with, I'm still wild on stage, but
she
I'm a
is
little
wild.
Bit more toned down. Respect yourself, girls. but, yeah, so we did get a lot of attention. You know, Tom is crazy on the drums. He just, like, spit water from his... Miles
yeah, I've seen it.
Like, oh my God.
I know. Spit that water on me. I'll take my shirt off.
And you know, Matt is such a sweetie pie. So like the girls look at him because he's just like in his little zone. And then you got Tommy on the side who's just like just playing, and everybody's like looking at him like, this guy is crazy.
So your band is just like four crushes.
Yeah, basically.
Like four people to crush on.
Yeah.
Like, so no matter what your person, like the wild people will like you.
The
people
Titans.
That like the introspective will like the guitarist.
Yeah, exactly.
The people that like the spouting water will like the drummer. Tommy.
Yeah, exactly. and whoever likes the sweet guy, they get mad.
They get, wow, I love how you get, like, it's like earth, wind, fire, and water. It's like you got the elements there.
So, yeah.
That's crazy. So, When you guys first started gigging around, did it stand out to you that how many bands do you notice have a Latin front person, whether it's a male or female?
Not many, or that I know of now, because all these guys are walking around with beards and I can't tell what they are.
that's funny.
You know?
Yeah, we can be going on the tangent about male fashion in the 21st century, but let's not go back to the music.
I don't think we even played that many shows with people who had so many different ethnicities in their band.
Did anybody ever come up to you and like were like amazed by you?
Yeah, and that humbles me so much because, you know, when I get up there, I'm scared. So I'm just like, you know what? Don't pay attention too much to the crowd. Pay attention to the music. And whatever the music makes you feel like doing, that's what you do. And that's why I act crazy.
You lead it. Yeah, you let it lead you. No, I totally get that. Because as a theater performer and you know, a storyteller performer, you, like, I always have, like, mad nerves. But only right before I'm going to get on stage.
Same.
Like, I could be, like, eating, like, a sandwich, like, half an hour before. But you tell me places, I'm like, And then it's like that my brain is all tangled up again. But then the second I get on stage and I open my mouth, all of that energy comes out of me like a fireball.
Absolutely.
And it goes into the audience, and then it's the give and take, and it's a beautiful thing.
And it's amazing. It's a great feeling, like... to be able to be on stage and do what I want to do. And you have to listen to me because that's what I'm doing. You have to pay attention, whether you like it or not.
And you do pay attention. Oh, my God. So tell us a little bit about your music. Who's the writer of the songs and, like, who, like, writes the words, who writes the music, and, like, what the influences for your material comes from?
Well, we all collectively, when we practice, we jam. And Tommy sometimes just comes up with these riffs out of nowhere and, you know... drummer Tom just knows exactly what to do, and so does Matt. So they come up with this stuff, and I'm usually the one that comes in with all the lyrics. When I'm writing a song, I usually have to listen to it to think about, you know, what is the song saying to me? What am I feeling when I hear this? But for the most part, I think I'm advocating for those girls who are still figuring their shit out and still a little naive and letting men take advantage of them. And, you know, doing things that you don't really want to do, but you do it because you feel like maybe somebody will feel different about you.
Right.
You,
they, maybe they'll like me they'll if I do me. This.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you know? They'll love me.
I don't think there's maybe a they'll lot of accept females me. Out there doing that.
No.
They're very, like, these, and I appreciate all these strong female artists, you know, because you need that. You need somebody to make you feel strong, but you need somebody also to give you a reality check and tell you, like, mama, you know you're doing this for the wrong reasons, or, you know, I did this for the wrong reasons, you know. So a lot of the songs are just like that. It's like relationships and heartbreak, and but also, you know, finding your strength. And also, you know, you also do things that are, you know, questionable to the other, you know, gender. You know what I mean? So, you know, most of it is about relationships and you know, things that girls feel that they don't want to admit that they feel anymore because they want to be seen as strong women. You can still be a strong woman and still be naive and still, you know, have your heart broken and still have somebody treat you in a way that's not right.
You can be strong and still have compassion, empathy, sympathy, and tenderness in you. And one does not replace the other.
Absolutely. And, you know, I feel like that's something that I've been working on my whole life. It's been extremely soft, and I always wanted to understand people, you know. So when anytime I was in a relationship or a situation where I felt unwanted or bad most of the time, it was me always trying to understand the other person and why they were the way they were. You know what I mean? So, and that's where all the songs come from.
I just think it's so amazing that you are an advocate for other girls, because girls always are looking up to see, like, who they can be like. And, you know, when who you can be like is sorry, not sorry again, Kim Kardashian.
No.
You know? No. And no, I'm trying not to be disrespectful, but she let's just leave it at
let's
that.
Let's leave it at that.
Let's leave it at
I,
that.
You know, I'm a hairstylist, and at work, you know, sometimes I have these privileged people. They don't know what I do on the side, and they don't know that I'm a performer and I'm a singer and I'm an advocate for women who want to be stronger but haven't quite gotten there yet. You know what I mean? You know, so they just take off their little jackets and they, like, shove it in my face to go put it somewhere. And, of course, I'm going to feel some type of way because I'm not your slave. You're not going to just hand me it. Hi, how are you? My name's Alicia, and I'm a professional.
Yeah, it's a problem, and it's always been a problem with society, and it's a problem that I think is becoming magnified in these times because of the thing with the orange oven mitt on his head. Yes,
it's
we do not
true.
Mention that name.
You know, I'm glad that I'm at a platform now where I can talk about whatever I want. Because once that mic is in my hand, there's no shutting me up.
Yeah, I hear that.
I've gotten in trouble already because of
being able to host. Oh, tell us about one time you got in trouble.
we played a show at a specific venue.
You don't have to mention names, don't worry.
And the sound guy got a little mouthy with me, and I had to put him in his place.
Ah.
And, you know, it's safe to say that the Jack and Coke was influencing me, but I, you know, I went in and, you know, I made it known that he wasn't going to disrespect me. So I just, you know, I'm glad that I get to say what I want to say, and the guys always back me up, even when I'm wrong. They're just usually on my side.
So how often do you guys perform now?
Now,
5 years later, like what kind of venues are you getting to play? Do you guys gig out? Do you travel?
Well, so right now we've been putting all of our energy into our EP and trying to figure out what the next step is for us.
Oh, okay.
The band, because we do want to get bigger and make this into a career. So we're trying to venture out into other outlets on how we can get, you know, to that goal.
And everybody in the band has a day job also?
Yes.
But is anyone else in the band a parent besides you?
No, just me.
So
they're co-parents.
They're co-parents. That's right. Tio.
They're all very, and they you know, they're involved with Mikey as well. Like, anytime Mikey's around, you know, they're helping him with something. They're having a conversation with him.
And then Mikey's drawing his manga.
Yeah, he's drawing his manga. You know, our first band photo that's on our Instagram was taken by Mikey.
And Mikey wants to be an artist too, I think. So he's just following in the footsteps. What do your parents think of your career choice and trajectory now?
They are still a little, you know, about it, just because, and I know it's because they want me to succeed and they want me to take the safe route. You know, if you go to school and you get your degree on this, then you can get a job doing this and then you'll be good. And you know what I mean? And that's all great, but I won't feel fulfilled inside. And that's the main thing.
Do you see yourself doing that to your son at all? Like wanting him to be the safe route?
No.
Ah,
he's, so he's saying he's going to go to Japan for college. So if you say you're going to go to Japan, then what we're going to do is we're going to make
that happen. So we're seeing that a pattern is being broken here.
Yeah, absolutely.
The next generation of people being like a little tentative, and then the other part of it is like, no, go for your dream.
Yeah, and I think with this generation, it's a lot of people going through that. You know,
no, it's good.
My generation is a bunch of creative people, because a lot of the people that I went to school with, they're modeling, they're acting, they're you know, graphic designers, they're doing all these things, and I feel like they're going to make their kids, you know, they're going to push their kids to follow their dreams.
That's fantastic, because people, like, from my generation often were not encouraged to be artists. I had a conversation with another woman who was a little younger than me and was actively discouraged, because for certain Latin people, artists are sucia. You know?
Yeah.
Artists are sucia.
Yeah.
They don't pay their rent and they're sucia. And then they end up on welfare and they end up on drugs and they end up dead, and we don't want that in our family.
But that's not all of them.
But it's not, no. Because people don't know.
No.
It's like if people, anything that people hate, usually, often, is because they don't know. Like if somebody says they don't like trans people, it's because they don't know a trans person.
Right.
If someone says they don't like Asian people, it's because they don't know an Asian person. If it doesn't like people that have an illness, it's because you don't know anyone that lives with a chronic illness and you don't have the empathy with the person dealing with that.
Yeah, you don't know how to empathize.
Yeah.
It's kind of my
deal. So, where are you going to be playing next? We were going to have Guitar Tom here, but he's feeling a little bit under the weather, and I don't know if you're prepared to sing a little something a cappella.
I could probably do something like that.
Yeah, don't worry. If it don't sound good, we can cut it out.
What song do I know that I can sing a cappella?
That's okay. We can figure it out. We'll just keep talking. We can figure it out. And you don't have to sing a whole song. I mean, but I would just like Fish Out of Agua people to know, you know, hear some of your power. And then we'll talk after about like where people can see you next and stuff. What, Mike?
He wants me to sing this song. I heard this song from Julie London called Cry Me a River. He wants me to sing that one. Now you say you're lonely. You cried the whole night through. Why don't you cry me a river? Cry me a river. I cried a river over you.
Yay! Oh my God, that's so lovely. Now, I was picturing Allie like writhing on the floor, but you don't writhe on the floor when you sing that song, because that's like your passion ballad right there. All right, so Allie, where can... Okay, this interview will probably run in October. So talk about any gigs that you're going to have from like mid-October to the beginning of November.
So where EP is coming out as well.
And if people want to hear your music in the meantime...
They can go on Spotify, iTunes. They can Shazam it if they hear it in Kmart. I don't know.
Kmart?
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Radio Free Brooklyn.
Yes, Radio Free Brooklyn.
Whenever I turn it on, they play one of our songs. I'm so grateful for that.
Is there any show in particular that has an extra love for Love Honey?
But Rachel's show.
Rachel Cleary's show, Brooklyn Bands?
Yeah.
No, Here and Now.
Here and Now with Rachel. She's... had us on there like 3 times, and she's always very lovely, very nice.
Well, look up Rachel Cleary's Here and Now show in the Radio Free Brooklyn archives. And where socially can people find you?
They can find us on Love Honey Music on Instagram.
Okay.
If they want to go on our website, lovehoneymusic.com, but Instagram is where you can mostly reach.
Okay, so you guys don't have a Facebook page?
We do have a Facebook page.
Okay.
It's Love Honey Music as well, right?
Okay, so I ask everybody this question to close the interview. If you could say one thing to that child who's sitting in their bedroom, whether it's in a top floor tenement walk-up or a beautiful split-level house, or maybe even a shelter, or in a small town where nobody gets them, and they have a burning desire to be something more than what everyone around them is telling them they could be, what would you say to that child?
Keep going, Mama. Just keep going. People said that to me my whole life. So, and I'm like this 2 years later, like with this band. So you keep going, something's gonna happen.
You take that first step.
Yeah.
Take the leap of faith.
Yep.
Yay, mommy, Boricua in the house. Woo, 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 woo. Thank you, Allie.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on Fish Out of Agua. And we're back on Guess What? Fish Out of Agua on Radio Free Brooklyn. And as promised, as Allie mentioned in the interview, her there, Love Honey's second EP, Feeling No Way, releases tomorrow, Wednesday, October 25th, on all major streaming networks. Don't ask me to name them because then I have to betray my age or whatever. Spotify, yeah, yes, Spotify, iTunes, all of them. But anyway, this is I'm Gone from their EP, Feeling No Way by Love Honey.
Yeah.
That's a lot of voice coming out of a 4'11" package. Oh my God. Ali Quiñones of Love Honey singing I'm Gone from their new EP, Feeling No Way. I swear to God, I mean, whatever people believe in, but I think that if there is a spirit world that can see our world, and if there's like a thin veil, I have to believe that Janis Joplin is looking down on Ali saying, go girl, go girl, go girl. Because I certainly am. I'm a fan, and I hope you are too. And guess what, kids? That's our show. You've been listening to Fish Out of Agua on Radio Free Brooklyn. If you like what you've heard today or on any other day, why don't you sponsor us? Go to Radio Free Brooklyn's homepage, and you don't have to just sponsor Fish Out of Agua. You could sponsor any one of the fine shows. Just look for the donate tab, click on it, and see where it takes you. Please stay tuned for Brooklyn Bandstand next, and we're going to close with another song that Ali picked for her episode. And guess what? It's a very, very old school song, an amazing one. It's by Billie Holiday, the amazing Billie Holiday, and it's from her Lady in Satin album in 1958. The song was composed in part by Frank Sinatra, but I think Billie does it the most justice, and it's called I'm a Fool to Want You. All right, kids, Billie Holiday, I'm a Fool to Want You, and we'll see you next week.
I'm a fool to want you. I'm a fool to want you. To want a love that can't be true, a love that's there for others too. I'm a fool to hold you, such a fool to hold you. To seek a kiss not mine alone, to share a kiss the devil has known. Time and time again I said I'd leave you, and time again I went away. But then would come the time